Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan on a Kim and Lavoy Judgment Day. Kim and Lavoy, they are your best defense. Check them out at kimandlavoy.com. See Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, inventor of the Lambeau Leap. Leroy yesterday was lobbying to get Eric Name on the air, so here he is. Eric Name joins us now on the great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good afternoon, Eric.
My guys, what's up?
Okay,
what's
so
up, Name?
First things first, before we get to the Giannis conversation, I just want to say I really enjoyed your piece on George Karl, the interview that you had with George Karl. What was your thoughts talking to George Karl and reminiscing about that Eastern Conference Finals run and his time in Milwaukee?
So I think George is incredibly honest in the ways that George wants to be incredibly honest. And I guess what I mean by that is the lens through which he's going to be honest. So, like, I think those are his honest thoughts, but obviously he's going to view it through his own lens. So, you know, I think as we were talking about it, like, he's very honest about, like, hey, this is how, you know, we work with Ernie Grunfeld, and this is how we worked with Senator Cole, and this is how we made decisions. And, you know, ultimately I was the one that made the decisions, but I did think maybe his his remembering of the way Ray Allen or Sam Cassell or Glenn Robinson reacted to the things he did might not have been as fair to those guys as it was to him. But I think overall, I mean, I think he was really honest. And I think in the end, he knows how big of a mistake it was to trade Ray Allen and how silly it was to let something personal kind of get in the way of something that they were building that was pretty special. And then obviously I never, you know, I'm always uncomfortable speaking about someone who's passed on, but, you know, like he, as you mentioned, training for Anthony Mason was a huge mistake. So I thought he was really honest, but obviously all of that is going to come through in a very George Karl lens.
And I'm surprised that he brought up that Ray Allen went to the Senator on him. Because again, I mean, I've talked about it, but I haven't heard anybody else ever bring it up. And the fact that he brought it up to you, I thought was very nice, because I don't think a lot of people realize that Ray went over George and Ernie's head when nobody was doing what Ray wanted them to do, and went to Senator Cole and pretty much said it's him or me. And well, we found out what happened. They ended up Herb ended up going with George Karl at the end of the day, and bye bye to Ray Allen in that Seattle trade for Gary Payton. The reason that we got you on though, Eric, in all honesty, is to talk about Giannis. And yesterday we did a topic, and I think you were tweeting about it yesterday a little bit, as far as why is it that Giannis seemingly is attached to all of these rumors through this entire thing? The Golden State Warriors, Chris Mannix of SI puts up a thing talking about his bold predictions of, you know, he gets traded to the Raptors and wins a championship with the Raptors next year. With in that situation, that blew my mind. It was at the end of his notebook. I mean, there was no reason to put it in there, and he just throws it in at the end of it casually and drops it in there. I about lost my mind. So, Eric, what do you make of all of this?
It's incredibly easy. It's if all you're saying is, oh, my bold prediction is this, or, oh, you know, hypothetically, this could happen. The easiest way to get someone to read something you've written about is to write about the best player in the league. Like, that's as simple as any of this is. And for me, you know, someone who has an actual relationship with Giannis and someone who has an actual relationship with all the people in the Bucks front office and the coaching staff and all that, like, I just don't think you're ever going to see me propagate anything about this stuff because Giannis is incredibly tight-lipped. The organization has made it very clear. John Orsi has already got this, or has already gotten fined for saying, like, hey, we're going to give him the Supermax. Like, that's what we want to do. So for them, they're in a spot where they can't really do anything because they're going to get a tampering fine every time they do it. So they can't do anything other than say, like, we love Giannis. Of course we love Giannis. And you know what? Me reporting that they love Giannis, me reporting that Bud wants to turn him into the next Tim Duncan and that Giannis loves Milwaukee, you clicking on that story? Do you care? Those are all things that you already know because Giannis has said them throughout the entirety of his career. Was Malika Andrews from ESPN last year during the Eastern Conference Finals had a report that sources close to Giannis say that the Bucks need to make the NBA Finals next year for him to be fully convinced in the organization or something of that nature. And I don't want to say that report is nothing, but Giannis wants them to be good or otherwise he's going to leave. Do you need a source on that? Like, I can tell you that right now. If the Bucks did, he's not going to want to be around. Like that, it's not really saying much. Like, yeah, he wants them to be good. And yeah, any superstar in the league is going to want them to prove that they will be ready to go, to prove that they can be a contender, to prove that year after year they can build a championship roster. And again, to the Bucks' credit, they've done that. The Bucks were in line to be the prohibitive favorites in the Eastern Conference and appear in the NBA Finals this year. So on one hand, you have something that is very realistic, very likely, and very much based in reality that is not exciting at all, that is not interesting in any way. And then on the other side, you have something that is incredible. Look at these hypotheticals we can draw and this fake trade I made and all these grand ideas I have for the best player in the league. And that's exciting for people. And you know what? We don't have any basketball right now. We don't have any live sports going on. So if I can do something that's going to make my readers excited, that's great. Let's go for it. But, you know, like, as someone from the outside, I can see why they would do it. It's like, that's a very easy story. That's something that you can pump out very easily at this moment without any live sports. But in market, talking to Giannis, like, these aren't things that are realistic.
Takeaway, Steve.
Leroy, go ahead, Leroy. You want to hit names? You want them all to get them.
Name, you said it better than me. I try to tell these people. And see, here's the thing that really got on my nerves. Names, this one got on my nerves. Everybody was saying that's what people saying outside of where we are in Milwaukee. Okay, we all know Bucks fans claim they think. But we took three calls. All three calls bought into all this conspiracy theory that he leaving to go somewhere else. So I said, I'm done. So I don't know if they're going to listen to you. I don't know. Maybe your platform ain't big enough. Maybe they think you don't know nothing. Maybe they not. I don't see no headlines from names. I just don't get it. And the only reason why I brought you up, because we had you on last year when you did something, you know, with him. I said, I'm going to believe the guy that is more with him than a guy from far away speculating what they think, that most guys want to leave their particular team to go somewhere else. So I just threw my hands in the air. So I'm done with it.
Yeah, because I mean, like, the most concrete reporting anyone has gotten outside of me about Giannis was...
I like that outside of me. I like that.
Was Malika Andrews from ESPN last year during the Eastern Conference Finals had a report that sources close to Giannis say that the Bucks need to make the NBA Finals next year for him to be fully convinced in the organization or something of that nature. And I don't want to say that report is nothing, but Giannis wants them to be good or otherwise he's going to leave. Do you need a source on that? Like, I can tell you that right now. If the Bucks did, he's not going to want to be around. Like that, it's not really saying much. Like, yeah, he wants them to be good. And yeah, any superstar in the league is going to want them to prove that they will be ready to go, to prove that they can be a contender, to prove that year after year they can build a championship roster. And again, to the Bucks' credit, they've done that. the Bucks were in line to be the prohibitive favorites in the Eastern Conference and appear in the NBA Finals this year. Exactly. We don't know if it's going to happen. We don't know if postseason is going to happen. Obviously, we're talking about all of that right now, and news is going to keep breaking on that. But like, they put themselves in the position that they need to put themselves in. And to this point, there's nothing else you can do, because for Giannis, it doesn't make any sense for him to be like, yep, 100% guaranteed, I'm coming back. Well, what if the Bucks do something stupid in the meantime? Then all of a sudden you have to backtrack on your word, and you're not a man of your word anymore. So publicly, he's just never going to say anything that's like, 100% signing it, done deal, don't worry about anything else. Like, he's just not going to do that, and in that vacuum, everyone just wants to throw all of these other rumors and all this other stuff that they don't have substantiated anywhere.
So just to clarify then, you're saying there's a chance he could leave?
Yeah.
Oh, he's setting you up, names. He's setting you up.
No, I'm just clarifying.
There's a chance that anything can happen, Steve. There's a chance it won't be a freeze
Leroy, to this point,
don't
though.
Don't set him up like
Leroy,
that.
Leroy, stop. To this point, Bucks fans are pretty much doing the, he's not leaving, it's not happening, I'm not listening to anything else, he's just never going to leave us. I'm asking Eric, does he think there's a chance?
Yeah, and I mean, I think if you asked me this last June, I would have told you the same thing. Like, I think there's always been a chance that he's going to leave. Like,
and it's a chance he stays, too?
There's a very good chance. The chance is better that he's there. But like, I do think, like, obviously, there's going to be no 100% here. Like, this is what the modern day NBA is about for star players. It's controlling the situation and being able to make sure your organization has their bleep together. Like, make sure you got it together. Otherwise, you could lose me. Whether that's Giannis, LeBron, Anthony Davis, whoever it may be, like, that's what star players are going to do, and that's how they're going to flex. So teams got to make sure that they're doing the right thing. And
Names, but again, what I don't want, if somebody to hear this and say, Eric Name says there's a chance that Giannis will leave. I don't want that. So that's why I asked you, because Steve tried to set you up. I asked you, is it a chance that he stays? So maybe that won't be the headline, is a chance that he stays. Only the clickbait is a chance that he leaves.
Correct. That's largely what we're talking about. It's like, it's always going to be the other stuff that fans from other teams cling to, that people outside of Milwaukee cling to. Like, all of that other stuff is way more fun. Like, nobody wants to think about the best player in the league being in Milwaukee for a decade. That's not fun for everyone else. In Milwaukee, it's a whole lot of fun, but everywhere else, they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to think about that. Reporters don't want to keep coming to Milwaukee. It's cold. Like, it's not fun. Like, I get it. Like, I get all the reasons, but like, all they can do is keep throwing fuel on the fire and hope that there's just a little that it can keep the flame going. But that's about it.
Names, what you hearing about this season? We gonna get it in or not?
So I think the big thing here is that all parties involved want to make it happen. And I think the thing that I've gotten the most hope from talking to people and, you know, obviously just reading the news and talking to other reporters in the last week is that we haven't seen I think if you look at Major League Baseball right now, you have the owners being like, we already agreed to this. Stupid players, figure it out. Like, that hasn't happened in the NBA. Like, the NBA, the players, the owners are still working together. And I thought, again, that obviously Adam Silver is going to control some of these leaks and what gets out there. But, you know, last Friday, like, the call that they had, I think it was there was a very clear reason why one of the specific quotes that leaked out is that we're choosing between a bunch of bad options. And I think that's important because that shows, I think, a reality from both the owners and the players that, you know what, someone's probably going to be mad. Like, someone maybe isn't going to make as much money. We're all not going to make as much money.
Right.
But
right.
To get this done, we're going to have to do it together, and we're going to have to pick a bad option in the end. That, to me, suggests some clarity and some reality among the NBA for trying to get this season to go. Like, that's why I feel more optimistic about them than baseball, because baseball, they don't seem to be on the same page. Like, they got owners saying one thing, players saying another. Like, In the NBA's case thus far, everyone seems to be on the same page, and that to me suggests, like, hey, they're going to work together to figure out, do we push next year's season back to the Christmas Day, fit in the playoffs, do we get everyone together? Like, how do we do all this? To me, that gives me hope for the NBA.
See,
that this season actually good thing.
Eric, so you had Adrian Wojnarowski earlier today of ESPN saying that the Players Association sent out text messages to everybody asking them whether or not they want to play 400-some players. Yes and no. That's what they wanted back. Now a report comes out from Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports a little while ago saying that Chris Paul, the president of the Players Association, arranged a private call yesterday that included LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Durant, Giannis, Kawhi, Stephen Curry, Lillard, and Westbrook, sources said. The group's decision expected to hold significant weight in the decision-making process for the rest of the league's players when it's time to deliberate on whether or not to restart the season. But again, I mean, for me, it's great that all the superstars are together, and I'm glad that Giannis is part of this like leadership little deal that they've got going on here for the NBA. But I just think it's going to be a hard sell talking to teams that, you know, are at the bottom of the league trying to come back to play 5, 6, 7 regular season games when they're not playing for anything, Eric.
Yeah, I think what we ultimately see happening is probably only the playoffs happening, those 16 teams being the ones that come back and do what they need to do to finish out the season. And how you sell that is obviously those 14 teams are going to say, hey, we didn't get our gates. We didn't get the money that we would have got from that. And the playoff teams in the league saying, like, that's true, but if we can get the playoffs in, all the revenue that we share, you're still going to get your cut of that, and you're going to get more of that than if we hold this whole thing up because those 14 teams don't think it's a good idea. Like, let's just get the 16 in. Let's get the playoffs in. Let's get our TV rights money, and let's try to make the dent that's going to happen in the cap, in our earnings, as little as possible. Let's try to recoup some of that, and I think that's probably ultimately where it happens. And again, it's going to be a long trip to get there, right? Like, you're going to have to do a lot of bargaining and work through all of this. But the one thing I had a story with Pat Connaughton about a month ago up at The Athletic, and the one thing he said was, like, we always think of lockouts. We always think of players versus owners. And he said, you know, this is the very rarest of opportunities where we have a chance to make all of this work together. And if we make this work together, that could do so much good for our relationship going forward. That if in this moment we rise to the occasion and find a way to collectively bargain something together and get this done, like, we could really do some good here for the long-term relationship of players and owners, the NBA Players Association, and just how all of this works. And I thought it was a really good point. Like, I think everyone understands what's at stake here as far as how much money they could lose and what they can do going forward, that I think that it gets done. But yeah, you're right. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you have to get through, and there's a lot of different things you have to figure out to make sure that everyone stays safe.
Thank you so much, Eric, for coming on. Obviously, everybody can follow you on Twitter, Eric_name, and go check out that George Karl piece that he did. Outstanding work, once again, by Eric Name. Eric, enjoy the rest of your day. I'm not sure what exactly you have planned. What do you have planned, Eric?
You know what? I think I'm going to throw my mask on and walk down by the lakefront for a little bit. It's pretty nice out right now, so maybe I'll go do that.
There you go.
Yeah, that sounds good. Get out, man. I think that's a good idea. Eric.
But thank you so much for coming on and putting all this conspiracy theory stuff. Well, I apologize. You can get back to your day. Get on with your day. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you, fellas. Have a good one.
Take care. There is Eric Name on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As your passion now grow in your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
Well, do you believe in it, Steve?
Yeah, I think there is a chance he leaves. No question. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane. Comes up next, the top three topics of the day. Plus, we're still going to hear from Adam McKelvey, who has his new Brewers book coming out, of course, with Brewers.com and MLB.com. We'll get his thoughts on the latest deal going on with Major League Baseball. Plus, of course, we'll talk about his book that comes out officially a week from today. That's all straight ahead. All right, here on the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh on The Fan.
The Second World War was the largest event in human history. a 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.